Doesn't that do your heart good? Wonderful singing, really fantastic. I want us this morning on this Easter Sunday morning to look at a couple of stories I've come across really recently in the news. The first one is that the Queen has retired and that the new King is King William and the new Queen is Queen Kate. Okay, there's one story come across recently. In the news, here's another one. Hillary Clinton has adopted an alien baby. There it is. It's out there. Of course, we all know, don't we, that that's just fake news. It's just stuff that people have put on the net or whatever. It's just made up. It's not real. You can't trust it. It's just a whole pile of rubbish, really. It's just fake news. And we hear lots today about fake news. Now, boys and girls, this morning I've got a job for you. And as I explain your job, could every adult make sure that every boy and girl can see a Bible at page 1023 and 1024. So I'm giving you the heads up now before we get there. Page 1023 and 1024. 1023 and 1024. Really important you can see this. Mark 15 and Mark 16. It was read for us earlier on in the service. Page 1023 and 1024. Because I want the boys and girls this morning to be reporters, to be newspaper reporters, in fact. And here are some of the things that you need if you're going to be a good reporter. Okay, so you've got to be observant. You've got to be able to look carefully. Men are not good at looking carefully for things. Sure, we're not men. Let's be honest. How often have you said, "I can't find that"? And somebody else in the house has said, "There it is, right in front of your nose." So boys and girls, we've not to be this morning like often men are. You've got to be observant. You've got to be able to look carefully. Then you've got to be able to ask lots of questions. And in my experience, boys and girls are brilliant at asking lots of questions. So that should be no bother to you. Then check everything you're told to make sure it's true. You've got to check it out, okay? Make sure it's true. Next, you've got to find out lots of details and information, and we're just about to do that. And then, if you're a proper reporter, you've got to write down what you find out so that you get the details right and don't forget them. And all that's important today because we're going to sift through the fake news and we're going to come, hopefully, to find the real news, the true news. We're going to get the facts right. It's so important that we do that. So we've got two headlines this morning. Here's the first one, Dead and Gone. So the first news headline this morning is up on the screen. There it is in big red bold letters, Dead and Gone. So we're going to see how good the boys and girls in Second Dromara are at observation, at noticing things, and then at keeping account of things. So here's the first bit of work for you budding reporters. Mark 15, verses 42 to 47. Mark 15, 42 to 47, page 1023. We're going to see about Jesus being dead and gone. So you've got to do two things. First of all, you've got to observe how many words in that passage are to do with Jesus being dead and gone. And then you've got to count them. So count words like dead and body and tomb, those kind of words. You've got to observe how many of them are there, and then you've got to count them. Okay, let's read it. And big people, could you open up your Bibles and follow along too? Because, of course, this talk is for everybody. So page 1023 and page 1024, this is for everybody, not just the little ones. Page 10. We always open up our Bibles in 2nd Jamar, so let's do that this morning again. Mark 15, 42 to 47, page 10, 23. So here it is, boys and girls. Observation caps on. It was preparation day. That's the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that Jesus was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body of it to Joseph. So Joseph brought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. Now, I'm going to see how good you guys are at observation and then at counting up the facts. So, how many times are the words dead, body, tomb, that kind of stuff to do with the fact that Jesus is dead and gone? How many times, I'm going to give you some options, how many times are those words mentioned? So, here's some options for you. Think about them, and then I'm going to get a show of hands. So are these things, don't put up your hands just yet. Here are the options, first of all. One time, five times, seven times, 11 times. Right, let's have a show of hands. Who think that words about Jesus being dead and gone is mentioned one time? No hands. Five times. One hand. Seven times. Some more hands, 11 times. Who had seven times up? Seven times is right. I'm rubbish at maths, but I make it seven times in just six verses. So if that was you, give yourself a pat on the back. Seven times in just six verses, it is mentioned that Jesus is dead and gone. Mark wants us to get this. In just six verses, it's mentioned a whole seven times that Jesus is dead and gone. Let's check out the evidence to see that really Jesus is dead and gone for sure. So verse 43 tells us that this man, Joseph of Arimathea, and Joseph of Arimathea was a highly respected man, okay? So Joseph of Arimathea goes and he asks Pilate, the Roman governor, for Jesus' body. Joseph is an important man, someone who is respected in Jerusalem. So Joseph, this respected man, knows that Jesus really is dead and gone. Then verses 44 and 45, our reporters can check that out too, because Pilate, the Roman governor, he is surprised to hear that Jesus is already dead. So he sends for the centurion. Can you put up your hand and tell me, we mentioned this last Sunday, who is a centurion? What did a centurion do? Neve? Yeah, brilliant. He looked after originally 100 men and then it moved down to 80. That's a brilliant answer. He was in charge of 80 Roman soldiers. It used to be 100 and then it was knocked down to 80. So this man in charge of lots of soldiers, he confirms what Joseph has said, that Jesus is dead and gone. Then verse 46, Joseph puts Jesus' body into the tomb and he seals it up with a stone. So there was no way out. Okay, the tomb is sealed tight shut. And then lastly in verse 47, the two Marys are witnesses to where the body of Jesus was put. So you can see everybody, boys and girls and big people too, you can see for sure that on the first Good Friday, there can be no mistake about this. There's evidence in the Bible report that Jesus really is dead and gone. We can be 100% sure that on Good Friday, Jesus was dead and gone. We've checked out the facts. They are there in black and white. They are clear. And because that's so, that was really bad news. Because Jesus' followers are so sad and lost because without Jesus, they just don't know what to do. They feel hopeless. And sometimes in our lives, boys and girls and big people, we feel like Jesus' followers here, we feel like there's no hope. We feel there's no way out. And that's how Jesus' followers felt. They felt hopeless because Jesus is dead and gone. And that's true for all of us, I think. You see, if you don't have Jesus in your heart today, the Bible says it's like we're dead and gone. A man who wrote lots of the New Testament, part of our Bibles, a man called Paul, here's what he writes about us and what our lives are like, that they are dead and gone without Jesus. Here's what he says. He writes to people before they became Christians. Here's what he says they were like. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions, that means to sin on purpose, and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. He writes that to some Christians living in a place called Ephesus in Ephesians 2 and 1. What does Paul mean? Paul means that without Jesus, we are alive on the outside for sure, but we are dead on the inside. Please understand this morning, if Jesus isn't in your heart is dead. You've got a dead heart. And please understand that this morning. Indeed, if you don't have Jesus living in your heart, not only is life hopeless, but eternity is hopeless too. If your life's dead without Jesus now, it's going to be dead forever, lost forever without Jesus. That's not good, is it? That's bad. That's as bad as it gets. That's as serious as it gets. And we've got to get that this morning and get it really clearly. We've checked out the evidence. It's clear. Jesus was dead and gone. And without him in our lives, our hearts are dead and gone too. That's what we're like. So, if I was to say we're going to sing the last hymn now, we'd all go home really flat. I'd go home really dejected, really sad, really sorry, really down in the dumps. But the story doesn't end there. Jesus' story doesn't end there, because Jesus' story goes from dead and alive to, so from dead and gone to risen and alive. From dead and gone, without any hope, Jesus moves to risen and alive. And so what happens next is some women go to the tomb, and they're going to anoint Jesus' body. That was their way of saying, Jesus, we love you. Even though Jesus was dead and gone, they wanted Jesus to know that they loved him and cared for him. And some of these same women who'd seen Jesus dead and gone, they are now at the tomb, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. And so, boys and girls, we're going to do a word search next. So, page 1024 this time. Mark 16, verses 1 to 8. And these next verses, they're not about Jesus being dead and gone. They're all about Jesus being risen and alive. So I'm going to test your observation skills, your reporting skills. So get your hands ready to put them up this time for a word search. Okay, so chapter 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was over. Now, who are these ladies who are mentioned? So we've got, first of all, Sam, Mary Magdalene, and then we've got, hold on, I just want, no, just pause button. Neve's behind you. Go on ahead, Neve. Pause button, and Lauren, Salome, right? Brought spices so that they might anoint Jesus, what, Rebecca? Body, okay, because Jesus was dead and gone, we said, okay. Next bit, verse 2. Very early on the, what day of the week, Zara? On the first day of the week. So that was Sunday, okay. So very early on the first day of the week, on the Sunday, just after, if you see this in the morning, it means you're up really, really early, Chloe. Sunrise. Okay, so the sun had just risen very early in the first day of the week, just after sunrise. They were on their way to somewhere that would be very sad. If you went there, this would be a sad place. Curtis, Brilliant, to the tomb. So dead people are in tombs, so they go to the tomb, right? And they asked each other, what did they ask each other? This is a big long one. They asked each other a question, Caitlin. Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the, what was it? There's something over the front of the tomb. And I see Ross's hand up. The stone, which was very small. Was it? What was it? The stone was very, who have I not asked? Vanessa? Large. A big stone. They looked up and they saw the stone, which was very large. What had happened to it? It had been something. What on earth happened to the stone? It had been, who can tell me who has? Amy? It had been rolled away. Imagine that. As they entered the tomb, who did they see? So first of all, who did they see? They saw, who was it? Who hasn't answered one? Anybody not answered one I haven't asked? Aria's hands up. Who did they see, Aria? A man. What kind of man was he? Was he middle-aged like me? Was he old? He was, Lauren, young. A young man dressed in a white robe sitting at the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for... Who were they looking for? Who were they looking for? Kirsty? Jesus? The Nazarene? Who was... What had happened to him? Simone? Crucified? Brilliant. He has, and this is great news, Rebecca's dying to tell me, he is risen. He is, Ella, if your hand up, he's not here, brilliant. See the place where they laid him? Go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will what? What's going to happen, Chloe? See him. Now I've told you, just as he told you. So in the last wee bit, the last word, trembling, their knees were walking, knocking, and one other thing. What were they a bit? They were, Vanessa. That's a big word, bewildered. And that's a really important word. We're going to come back to that. The woman went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Let's look at the evidence here from this news report that tells us Jesus really is risen and alive. So, the big stone, okay, we talked about it being a very large stone. The big stone had been rolled away, and Mark wants us to understand only God could have done something amazing like that. And then there are messengers. We said this young man, this angel, this messenger from God is there. And this angel tells the woman that Jesus has risen. What's it mean to be risen? Anybody put up their hand and tell me, if Jesus is risen, what do you think it means? And there's lots of conversations going on, and Chloe's the first hand up. He's alive. He has risen. He is not here. Jesus is alive again, and that's brilliant news. Then some more evidence. The angel tells them to check it out for themselves. To see the place where Jesus was, go and look for yourselves, the angel tells them. Don't just take my word for it. Check it out. And that's just what they did. And they could see the tomb was empty. Jesus wasn't there. And then the angel says to the disciples that the disciples will see Jesus with their own eyes whenever they head into Galilee. They'll see him for themselves. And then the woman, they are no longer sad. They're not sad anymore. They're bewildered, Vanessa told us. What does that word mean? It means ecstasy. It means Jesus' disciples were over the moon. Because they thought Jesus was dead and gone. And they had big sad faces and they were crying. But they have happy faces now. It's like they're over the moon. They're jumping for joy. Jesus isn't dead and gone anymore. He has risen and he is alive. Folks, this is brilliant news. This is brilliant news, and there is so much evidence in these verses that Jesus has changed from dead and gone to risen and alive. We can believe this. Just like we checked out the evidence to say Jesus was dead and gone, and we were sure about that, so too we can check out the evidence and see for ourselves that Jesus is risen and alive. Now, the Bible says, God's word says, that's what we are like when we have trusted our life to Jesus. The risen and alive Jesus lives in us and brings us life that lasts forever. And there's a verse in the Bible that talks about that. Again, Paul, who we mentioned earlier, who wrote lots of bits in the Bible, says this: just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Remember we said earlier on, without Jesus, our hearts are dead. When we trust in Jesus, our hearts are risen and alive. Now, put up your hand if you like these. I'm sure nobody likes wee lambs. Sure they don't. Who likes wee lambs? Aren't they brilliant? What do you like about wee lambs? What's great fun about wee lambs? What do you love to see them doing? Rebecca? Jumping about like that one and sporting about and chasing each other and having running races and skidding and toppling over the top of each other. Aren't wee lambs great fun? It seems like they are jet powered. I wish I had a tenth of their energy. Now, I often don't feel like a little lamb. I don't often feel like I can run about and skip about and have all that energy that they have. I wish I had a wee bit of it. But you know what? The Bible tells me that when I put my trust in Jesus, I have an extraordinary, that means a way above ordinary, brand new life. I have it. When I trust in Jesus, you have it. When you trust in Jesus, you've got joy deep in your heart. You've got peace because you know everything's sorted out between you and God, and you've got certainty. You know, even though you're not sure what lies around the corner, you know that Jesus is with you every step of the way. It's brilliant, you know, whenever we had the classes up at our house, and Holly and Caitlin were talking about how they'd come to know Jesus and how they were trusting in him, it was brilliant to hear them say about the different ways they knew and know that Jesus is with them every way in that extraordinary new life that they have and that you have too when you're trusting in Jesus. So Mark tells us how Jesus' story finishes up. Mark tells us, as we've seen on Sunday mornings, it's official. Jesus' story is from dead and gone to risen and alive. It changes totally. And the Bible makes it clear that without Jesus, life is hopeless. We're dead on the inside. So folks, here's a question for us this morning as we finish up. Whether you're a boy or girl, or an adult, wherever age you are, whatever background you come from, it doesn't matter. Here's the vital question for all of us this morning. Is Jesus, the living Saviour, living in you? Is he? Is the living Saviour living in you, or are you dead? Is your heart dead without him? That's the question. Are you asking that of yourself? But Jesus is risen and alive. And that's what we're like when we have trusted our lives to Jesus. In fact, Jesus being raised to life brings his followers extraordinary, beyond the ordinary, new life. Are you trusting in Jesus? Are you trusting in him? Has he raised you to new life? You're dead without him. But with him you have extraordinary new life that never ends. What a brilliant day to give your life to Jesus and have his new life in you. Why would you miss out on it? Why would you miss it? Why would you miss it? You don't have to. Trust in him today. And his new life will be yours too. Let's close your eyes and pray for a second. Lord, we love to see the little lambs jumping around and racing around in the fields at this time of year. It's just fantastic. We all love to see it. Thank you that Jesus' new life is even more wonderful than that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you come into our hearts, you take them from their dead, and you bring us alive. You bring us extraordinary, way beyond the ordinary new life. And it's fantastic. You bring us joy deep in our hearts. You bring us peace because we know everything between you and us is sorted out. And you bring us hope. Hope with you that lasts forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you're not dead and gone. Thank you that you are risen and alive. And thank you that when we trust in you, you bring us risen and alive life that lasts forever. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name.